Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Catholic Singles. Every day, hundreds of Catholic singles join CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love. Breadbox Media listeners get 20% off by using the promo code BREADBOX when they register. Come be our next success story at CatholicSingles.com. Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. It's Friday, so you know we're going to have some fun, and we got a couple of great guests for you today. Second hour, Tim Staples will join us for a bonus open forum, which is kind of nice to close out the week with Tim doing an open forum. 888-318-7884 is our number. This hour, a conversation I have been looking forward to, a conversation on prayer. We have a 20 Answers book on prayer, which is called Prayer. And it's got two authors, Father Hugh Barber and Father Sebastian Walsh, both Norbertine priests. And our guest this hour is one of those authors, Father Sebastian Walsh, as I said, Norbertine priest, and a very well-prepared one. After completing his studies at Thomas Aquinas College in California, which I always like to mention because they're doing such great work there at Thomas Aquinas College, he went to the Catholic University of America in Washington, D.C., and got a license in philosophy. Later, he attended the Pontifical University of St. Thomas in Rome. That's the Angelicum, where he received a master's in sacred theology and a doctorate in philosophy. So he's ready to go. How are you, Father Sebastian Walsh?
Oh, I'm doing really well, Si. Thank you. Are you?
I'm very well. Thank you. So prayer, I guess there's a very basic, what is this? Like, what I think there's a lot of people who... I mean, I'm sure there's many Christians who would like a clearer definition of what is prayer, but there are a lot of people who are non-religious today who are like, what are you doing? What is this prayer thing all about?
Yeah, sure. You know, in the very just first basic sense, if you were to read Old English or something, you know, in Old English books, it says, I pray thee this, or something like that. It literally, in its most basic sense, means a kind of asking. And in this case, you're asking God, or sometimes one of the angels or saints, you're asking them for something that you need help with, that you can't get on your own. That's kind of the first basic notion of prayer. And you can expand it or extend it to understand any kind of a conversation between the soul and God. It's a kind of a lifting up of the mind and the heart to God with a disposition of hope, an attitude of hope. So it's this conversation between the soul and God, and very often the subject matter of that conversation is a kind of an asking from the Lord for the things that we need from Him. And frankly, we need everything from Him. So that's just a basic, you know, kind of first understanding of prayer. Some kinds of prayer go beyond just merely sort of asking for things, and they extend more to a kind of a thanksgiving or just an attitude of love and adoration towards the Lord. And that's also a prayer. The important thing in prayer is that the mind and the heart are lifted up to God, in union with God.
That is something many people find difficult, however, at different times in our life, maybe we all find difficult. So what is the answer? I mean, I'm sure you probably get people, you being a priest, and that say, nothing happens when I pray. I don't.
Yes.
Yeah. So what do you say to that person?
Absolutely. The fact of the matter is that while you can say that prayer is a conversation, you have to realize it's not exactly the same as a conversation with another human being. It rarely happens that you hear God's voice audibly in your ears or something like that, and you have a back and forth. Sometimes you see some saints, and that's what happens, you know. But even those saints, when they first began to pray, it was an act of faith. In other words, you believe that there is someone else who's listening and someone who's speaking to you, huh? And you have to learn how to understand how that divine conversation takes place, because God cannot be seen or heard with our bodily eyes or our bodily ears. So let me give an example that might help. Let's say that you had a child who was in a coma, and for whatever reason, your child was not able to respond to you outwardly, but you had faith, you believed that they could hear you. And so you sat there and you had a kind of a conversation, albeit one-sided, where you were speaking to your child or reading to your child who was in the coma. I've actually read stories about this later on, the person came out of the coma and said, yes, I could hear everything, you know.
Right,
the parent
right.
had been, for years, had been in this attitude of faith, believing that their child could hear, huh? Well, something like that has to happen with regard to our prayer with God, that we, on our part, we're making an act of faith that God is there, that he's listening. Now, how does God speak to us? That's where you have to have a certain kind of an experience and a kind of sensitivity in your soul to understand how God responds to us. He normally does not respond by means of an audio voice. But what does happen is this. You're praying about something, and then after a certain time of prayer, suddenly you have a sense of peace about what it was that you were praying about. Or you're asking about help and making a decision. And then just after enough time, so, you know, it just happens that you have a sense that this is what I should do. God speaks so deeply and intimately in the heart that he touches you at the level of your very choices and decisions, and in a way sort of he bypasses all the sound and the noise and goes straight to the depths of your heart and gives you a kind of an understanding of what you need to know in those times. So most often that's how you experience God responding to you. He communicates to you sentiments in your heart. He communicates to you a kind of a decisiveness or certitude about what is to be done or what is to be avoided. And that's normally how that conversation will take place with regard to prayer.
I know a lot of people would say, I would prefer he not bypass the sound and the noise. A little bit of sound and noise, I'd be fine with me.
Let me recommend one thing too. If you want to have your senses engaged in prayer, another thing I find very helpful is reading the scriptures while you pray, because there you're actually seeing the very words of God. And you know, many of the saints, St. Augustine, for example, he sought God's will. He opened up the scriptures and there God spoke to him, you know, through the written word of the text of scripture. So sometimes that's a helpful thing too, to sit down with the scriptures, to read a passage and then say, what is God saying to me in that? And then pause and then go back and read some more. And what is the Lord saying to me in that passage? So that's another way that we can hear the Lord speak. We know that's the word of God. And that makes it a little easier from the standpoint of you're actually able to read something and see words that that you know are the word of God.
Norbertine priest Father Sebastian Walsh is our guest this hour, 888-318-7884. If you have questions about prayer, about your own prayer life, maybe you have more apologetics type questions about prayer. For example, I know that in the book you cover questions, Father, such as is repetitious prayer, is, for example, the
the rosary.
Yeah, or something like that, repetitious prayer. People might want to ask about that, or maybe want to ask about how to properly pray things like the liturgy and the Our Father, the Hail Mary. All of that is welcome. 888-318-7884 is our number. And we have Joanne in Dayton, Ohio, listening on St. Gabriel Radio. Joanne, your question for Father Sebastian Walsh.
Hey. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Joanne.
Yeah. Hi, guys. No, yesterday on the radio, I heard the priest as one of the prayers during the day. He said that prayer that you say at Mass in between the Our Father and the For the Kingdom, the Power, I don't know what that's called.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Where did that prayer come from? And then why do we Catholics not say the Our Father, the ending part, like Protestants do? That hit me yesterday,
yes.
And you guys are doing this on prayer today, so I'm kind of psyched.
It was
great.
It was providence that you were listening today then. Father?
Yes. So the origin, I couldn't tell you the exact origin of the prayer in between the Our Father and what's called like that doxology, for thine the kingdom, the power, and the glory yours forever and ever. That prayer in between, it dates back to the very early liturgy, however, the church. If I'm not mistaken, the first texts of that where we have an actual written text date to about the 7th century. So it's a very ancient text in the liturgy of the church. Deliver us, Lord, from every evil, grant us peace in our days, etc. Now, that other part, with regard to why don't we say that final, what's called a doxology for the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours forever and ever. Why don't we do that the way Protestants do at the end of the Our Father? Well, part of the reason is because it's not in the scripture. That's not included in the scriptures. That was something that was added by a later Christian author. And we do say it in Mass, in the context of Mass. We do add it on in the end. So it's a prayer which is a beautiful, worthy prayer to be said. But when we say the Our Father, it's actually not part of the Our Father. It was added by a later Christian author who was obviously a very holy man. And we say it in the context of Mass after we do the Our Father. But in the scriptures, we find the Our Father without that text added to it. So when we say the Our Father by itself as Catholics, we omit that part. So does that answer your question?
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Father Sebastian Walsh, our guests, we got to take a quick break, so it's perfect time for you to dial the phone if you have questions about prayer. 888-318-7884 is the number. And by the way, you don't have to be Catholic to call. If you have a question about a prayer, you are welcome to call, whether you're Catholic, whether you're if you're not even Christian, you're welcome to call. 888-318-7884. And right now, we've got a free ebook for you. I want to let you know how to get it. It's called God's Love for You. And you just go over to the shop.catholic.com webpage, shop.catholic.com, click on the banner, and you get that free ebook. We love to give out these free ebooks, and we know God has immeasurable, infinite love for you. So go ahead and get God's Love for You free right now at shop.catholic.com.
Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live is proudly supported by CatholicChemistry.com, a new dating site for Catholics who want to do dating right and believe relationships start with Catholic chemistry. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicChemistry.com for their generous support on the web at CatholicChemistry.com.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Looking for a 2020 view on how Catholics are voting in the upcoming election? EWTN News and Real Clear Opinion Research are partnering to bring you clear and concise data on where the nation stands on issues, candidates, policies, and more by surveying Americans, including Catholics like you. And it's available now at EWTNnews.com/poll.
I don't don't know what these Norbertines do when they're not helping us. They are constantly helping us. Our acting chaplain right now is Father Jerome, a confrere of our guest today, Father Sebastian Walsh. And he's a wonderful, wonderful priest. We love having him here with us. But our usual chaplain is Father Hugh Barber, who's also a Norbertine from St. Michael's Abbey, and he's usually with us, but busy doing other things at the moment. So are we keeping you all employed? Like, do you guys have other things you have to get to? Or
well, we somehow managed to also find other trouble to get ourselves into, even beyond Catholic Answers. But somehow we're very happy that the work we're able to do with you, because you're a very reputable, excellent institution, and we're very happy to be associated with Catholic Answers, that's for sure.
Well, thank you for saying that, Father. One of the wonderful things about monasteries, and your monastery no exception, as a matter of fact, a shining example of it, is there's the opportunity for men in the monastery or women in the monastery to become very highly educated and well-prepared and able to help the rest of us. That's it's just such a tremendous gift. The whole monastic thing is a tremendous gift to the church. All right, enough.
I think so.
I think so, too. You guys prove it all the time around here. 888-318-7884. We're talking about prayer with Father Sebastian Walsh. Literally, the man wrote the book on prayer. It's called Prayer, 20 Answers Prayer. It's a Catholic Answers book. He wrote it with Father Hugh Barber. Up next, we have Jerry in Washington State listening on 107.5 FM. Jerry, thank you for your call, your question for Father Sebastian Walsh.
Hello. My question has to do with our confidence in the if prayer will be answered, if a righteous prayer will be answered, then can we be confident in the prayers that are given by holy men throughout Scripture, especially Jesus Christ? Two examples of that being that God's will be done, and that all of us that follow Him will be made one with Him.
Yes. Okay. So the St. Thomas Aquinas, he talks about that question is all prayer answered? And what he says is, at least with regard to us, each individual person, that we have to pray for something which is good, and we have to pray for it in a pious way and perseveringly, and it has to be something that is for the sake of our salvation, okay? So God, from his perspective, he's so good that he's not content to give us anything less than the greatest good in the universe, which is himself. And therefore, if we ask for something that's actually going to lead us away from God, he won't give us that. He'll give us something instead that'll lead us to him, and therefore it'll be something better than we ask for. Huh? So if we're doing that and we're praying for ourselves piously and perseveringly for things necessarily connected to our salvation, then prayer is infallibly heard, okay? Our prayers individually. Now, there are certain people whose prayers have a very special power, and first among those are the prayers of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because he's God. But notice this, even with regard to Jesus' prayer, certain prayers are prayers that have a kind of a conditional element to them. In other words, Jesus certainly desires all men to be saved, and yet we know in the Scriptures that there's a real possibility that some people are not saved. And that's because the Lord Jesus, when he prays, what he prays first and foremost is that the will of the Father be completely accomplished. And so when he prays, for example, in the Scriptures, that God's will be done, that means God's ultimate will. It doesn't necessarily mean that each and every person will in fact always do God's will at this moment, but rather that God's will, his larger plan for salvation, will be accomplished. And when he prays that we might all be one, that doesn't mean that every single person that goes by the name Christian will eventually be all united into the single church and be united in heaven. But it does mean that all of the elect, all those who God foresees will be, among the saved, will finally be one. And in his wisdom, God knows exactly why it is that prayer is answered for some and not for others. But so God, so to speak, sees the bigger picture. And so when we don't see certain prayers answered the way we expect them, we should realize that they are fully answered according to the intention with which Jesus prayed them. Maybe that's the best way to put it.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very, very
You're
much.
Welcome.
Boy, lots and lots of folks want to talk with you about prayer, Father.
Sure.
Let's go to Jeff in Illinois, listening on 96.7 FM. Jeff, thank you for your call. Your question for Father Sebastian Walsh.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. My question is, why do Catholics pray to Mary? I didn't grow up Catholic, and I've always kind of wondered, like, Jesus seemed to be a direct intercession, and we can go directly to Jesus. And even whenever she came and they said, your mother is out here, he says, who is my mother?
And sure.
She clearly was a human who most likely sinned and died a human's death. So I always wonder why do Catholics pray to Mary or in Mary's name?
Yeah, okay. Well, first of all, let's try and address the larger question. That is, does God ever intend us to pray to or through others? In other words, does God only want us to address prayers to him, or does he also want to us to ask others to pray for us? And if you look in the scriptures, for example, in the book of Job, this is in chapter 42, verse 8, God commands the friends of Job, go to my servant Job and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you, and I will accept his prayer, not to deal with you according to your folly. Huh? Again, in the Gospel of St. Luke, Luke records that Jesus is forgiving the sins of a paralytic man on account of the faith of his friends. It says, Jesus, when he saw their faith, he said to the man, your sins are forgiven you. So in many places in Scripture, what we find is that God wants us, even commands us sometimes, to ask others to pray for us, to pray to God for us. Now, of course, the Blessed Virgin Mary would be the extreme example of that, because no one was more closely united to God's will than Mary. She was the one through whom God fulfilled his promise to bring about the Savior of the world. Huh? And she must have been praying for the coming of the Savior more intensely than anyone else, because God came to her and sent the angel Gabriel to her and said, you are to become the mother of God. And he waited for her consent, for our salvation. So with regard to the comment about Mary being a sinner, the church doesn't believe that Mary ever committed any sin. We believe that she was free from all sin. And that's another question, you know, about her Immaculate Conception and so forth. But if that's true, then given that the scriptures say the prayer of a holy man is very powerful, then the prayer of the Blessed Virgin Mary is especially powerful. Now, you might ask, why would God want that? Why don't we just go directly to God? Well, the answer is, of course, we can go directly to God, and God is not displeased if we go directly to him for anything. But he also encourages us to go to him through others. And there are many reasons for that. For example, when we get to heaven, God willing, we're all in heaven, and we see how great a thing grace and salvation are, we'll be able to look one another in the eye and say, thank you. If it had not been for your prayers, I would not have been saved. And we'll end up loving each other so much more in heaven, because we'll see that we really were responsible for one another's salvation through our prayers and our sacrifices. And we won't love God any less, because we'll see that all that grace came originally from God. So it's a win-win situation for God. If he grants prayers if he grants grace and salvation through the prayers of others, now not only do we love God in thanksgiving for his granting that grace and salvation, we also love one another more. And what father does not want to see his children love each other as much as possible? So God himself encourages us to pray to him, not only directly, but also through others, through the saints. And he's so interested in that that he'll even give us more if we ask it through his mother or through one of the saints and if we ask him directly. He wants to encourage us to go to him.
Jeff, does that all make sense to you?
That's a terrific explanation. I really appreciate it. I'm not ready to convert yet, but that's a really good
answer. Well, thank you for listening. That's wonderful.
I can really dive in because I'm something I'm really passionate about having a greater understanding of.
Wait, we missed some of what you said, Jeff. You asked about what to dive in?
Maybe if you might be able to recommend a book or some sort of website that I could really seek out more answers or more in-depth answers about that subject.
Well, first of all, let me just have Marie send you a free book of prayer. It's just a very small but 20 answers book that Father is one of the co-authors on. But Father, maybe you wanted to recommend a book.
Well, okay, that's obviously the first book I would recommend. And I also recommend if you get a Catechism of the Catholic Church, it has a whole section on prayer and a little section explaining the intercession of the saints as well. And that's very helpful. It's just the basic teachings of the Catholic Church and showing how our understanding of prayer, our Catholic understanding of prayer, is rooted firmly and deeply in sacred scripture. Because I think Protestants and Catholics can agree that the sacred scripture is the truth from God. And so it's very important to see that our understanding of prayer and through the saints is actually something very deeply rooted in sacred scripture.
Okay, Jeff?
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you guys' time and taking my question.
Oh, anytime.
Oh, God bless you, Jeff.
As a matter of fact, if you're thinking about converting, we got 5 more minutes we can spend with you right now. I mean, we're
well, I got more questions. I don't know if the 5 minutes can field them, but I'm sure I'll be calling back in the future.
I hope you will, Jeff. Thank you so much. That's a very encouraging call to us, and it's nice of you to encourage us that way on a Friday afternoon. Hang on the line, and Marie will get your address if you're willing, and we'll send you the copy of that book, Prayer. From Father Sebastian Walsh and Father Hugh Barber. Father, will you hang on? We got a lot more calls for you. All right, good.
Hang on, and I'll be with you to the very end.
I know somebody else who said something like that. We'll be right back with more on Prayer with Father Sebastian Walsh.
Hello, this is Archbishop Alexander Sample of the Archdiocese of Portland in Oregon. Keep that dial right here on Catholic Answers Live.
Hi, this is Cy. A brand new episode of our podcast, Catholic Answers Focus, is available right now. Check it out at CatholicAnswersFocus.com or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. This week, we talk with Father Hugh Barber about whether the Catholic devotion to relics is weird and pagan. Check out this week's conversation and get access to past episodes at CatholicAnswersFocus.com. Have you subscribed to the Catholic Answers Radio Club newsletter? This is Catholic Answers Live host Cy Kellett, and I want to tell you about our new weekly newsletter full of behind-the-scenes information and facts you need to know about the show. It's easy to sign up. Just visit CatholicAnswersLive.com and look for the newsletter sign-up box on the front of the page. It's a great way to keep up to date with what's happening with the show and see what's coming in the days ahead, delivered weekly into your inbox. Sign up today for the Catholic Answers Radio Club newsletter and see what you've been missing. Go to CatholicAnswersLive.com.
Every Catholic has heard the challenge. How can you believe that? Don't you know the Bible says? It's a challenge we have to meet. If we can't reconcile apparent contradictions between Scripture and Catholic teaching, how can our faith survive? And if we can't answer our Protestant brothers and sisters, how will they ever come to embrace the fullness of the faith? In Meeting the Protestant Challenge, apologist Carlo Broussard gives you the knowledge and tools you need to answer 50 of the most common Bible-based objections to Catholicism. Be prepared to give an answer. Order your copy of Meeting the Protestant Challenge today by calling 844-239-4952, visiting shop.catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
This is Dr. David Anders. Join us for an engaging hour of questions and answers about the Catholic faith here on Called to Communion, Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern. Now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Father Sebastian Walsh, our guest this hour. He is one of the authors of the 20 Answers book, Prayer. You can get all the 20 Answers books right now at 60% off at shop.catholic.com. And you can buy them one at a time. You can buy them all together. There's 38 different topics covered on all parts of Catholic life, Catholic belief, Catholic practice, a whole bunch of things. You know, as you can imagine, 38 books covers a lot of territory. I will highly recommend the book on prayer to you. You can get it, as I said, at shop.catholic.com, where you can get all of the 20 Answers books. Up next to talk with Father Walsh, Maureen in Pennsylvania, listening to EWTN on Sirius XM satellite radio, channel 130. Maureen, your question for Father.
Hi, Father. How are you? Thank you for taking my call. I was
going to
turn this on because I have a hard time with prayer as well. And I thought that I thought your thoughts of incorporating the scriptures while praying. And I have a Bible, but I don't read it, and I don't know where the best place is to start. I could use a suggestion.
Oh, very
Father.
Good. Okay. So let me give you a little recommendation, just a very sort of concrete recommendation on how to improve your prayer life, especially using the scriptures. The first thing that you do is you make sure that you carve out a suitable time to pray. So maybe it needs to be maybe at least 15 minutes or something, and you just sit down and you're in a quiet place as well as you can be. And then you have these scriptures, and before you open the scriptures, you just address the Holy Spirit, and you invite the Holy Spirit into your heart, because St. Paul teaches us that the Spirit prays within us sometimes when we don't know how to pray. Huh? So invite the Holy Spirit into your heart, and then open to the Gospels. Okay, that's the first place to start, is the Gospels. And read something about the life of Jesus, especially the words of Jesus, when he's speaking to different people. He's speaking to all of us when he speaks in the scriptures. So take some little passage and just read, you know, maybe a paragraph or some, or just a complete little passage there. Maybe it's one of his parables. Maybe it's he's talking to someone like the adulterous woman or like the blind man or whoever. And then just read a few verses and pause. And then just ask the Lord, Lord, what are you saying to me there? And how can I respond to your call there? And then just wait and just be in silence for a few minutes. And then when you feel at peace again, then turn to the scriptures again, and then read a little bit farther and do the same thing. You just do a simple little, you know, take a few minutes for every verse or two. And you'll find as you get through the prayer, you'll find the prayer will be fruitful. And when you're done, always end prayer with some kind of a resolution to do something better, you know, to fulfill the Lord's will more perfectly in your life, whether it means to forgive someone, whether it means to be more generous, whether it means to use your time better, whatever it is, end with some good resolution at the end of each time of prayer. And you'll find that very quickly your life begins to more and more reflect the goodness of the Savior.
Maureen?
Father, thank you so much. I mean, I say my rosary almost daily, and I contemplate on the mysteries from Mary's, from Mary's point of view. And I don't mind the repetition, but what I find out when I go to bed at night, I'm saying the prayers over again, and I feel like I'm always asking God for things. Take care of this person or that person, and I always
start with
my thanksgiving for his sacrifice. The scriptures is a great idea. I will start that tomorrow.
Maureen, I'd like to send you a copy of Father's book as well, that 20 Answers book on prayer. If you would like, just hang on. Marie will get your address and we'll send you a copy of that book. Thank you so much for your question and for your call. We're talking about prayer. Father Sebastian Walsh is our guest. Our number is 888-318-7884, whether you're a Christian or not, whether you are Catholic or not. Whether you're human or you got to be human. We're going to say you got to have to be human. But other than that, no restrictions. If you got a question about prayer, this hour is for you. 888-318-7884. Jennifer's calling from Columbus, Ohio. Nick, that's one of my top 10 favorite Ohio cities. She's listening on St. Gabriel Radio. Jennifer, hang on. I got to push a button so I don't lose somebody. Go ahead, Jennifer. Your question for Father.
Hi, Father Walsh.
Hi.
And I read that if your prayers are not answered, it's because you don't merit them. I wondered what your thoughts were about that.
Yes. Okay. St. James, in his epistle, I believe it's the beginning of the fourth chapter, he does mention that sometimes our prayers are not answered because we're praying wrongly. He does mention that's a possibility. In other words, he says, the passage goes something like this. He says, you pray, but you do not receive because you pray wrongly to spend it on your passions. So sometimes when we're praying and we're just praying, so, you know, do you remember that old song? I don't remember who sang it, but it's just, oh, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? Do you know that old song? So if we're praying for wealth or things like that, that maybe are going to lead us away from God because we have very earthly desires, then it is possible the Lord will not answer those prayers because of that. But most prayers, I think, I really believe, are prayers done with a good heart and not because, you know, people have bad desires or something like that. And in those cases, it's not that you don't merit your prayer being heard. Maybe God wants you to keep persevering, for example, so that you'll have a greater desire and then a greater gratitude and thanksgiving when your prayer is heard. Or maybe it's because God, even though he sees that you're praying for something good, knows that there's something actually better for you. So to take an example, let's say you were a mom in the supermarket and your little 3-year-old is in the cart with you. And the 3-year-old says, Mommy, I want Frosted Flakes. And you as a mother, you reach over and you grab the grape nuts and you put it in the cart instead of the Frosted Flakes. And in your heart of hearts, you know that your child is really the desire that they're trying to fulfill that's deeper is healthy nutrition. And even though the Frosted Flakes taste sweeter and they taste better, they're not better for you. And God does something like that with our prayers. Sometimes we're praying for something that, while it may be good, it's kind of like Frosted Flakes. It's something that we want and we would be more pleased with. But in fact, God actually is answering your prayer in a better way and giving you more what you want at the deeper level. So you shouldn't always think that it's just because there's something wrong with you if God doesn't answer the prayer as you hope for it to be answered. Very often it's because he's giving you something better than you're asking for, and you merit something better than what you're asking for. You deserve something better, and God gives you that instead.
Okay, Jennifer?
I think so. My prayers are for others, not me, so I wouldn't know.
Yeah.
So you pray for someone else to receive something.
Sometimes you can pray, let's say very often you're praying for someone who's sick or something like that, or for someone's salvation, and you don't see the results immediately. But you can be sure, especially if your prayer is motivated out of love for the desire for the salvation of others and that they grow closer to God, you can be sure that God is answering those prayers, though not necessarily in a way that you can easily see. You know, but by faith we know that God never turns down a prayer which is made in love for the salvation of souls. We know that.
Thank you, Jennifer. I hope that was helpful to you. We're going out to Barbara in Lakewood, Washington, also listening to EWTN Channel 130 on Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Barbara, your question for Father.
Hi, thank you. We were wondering when the Jesus was added to the Hail Mary.
Oh, okay. Good. So you might know something about the history of the Hail Mary. The first part of the Hail Mary is actually a composition of two different passages in Scripture. It's the very beginning, Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you, right? That part comes from the words of the angel Gabriel. Huh? So Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Then, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And that's the words of Elizabeth to Mary at the time of the visitation. That part of the Hail Mary was the original Hail Mary all the way up until the Middle Ages, maybe by the time of the 13th century still. For example, when St. Thomas Aquinas wrote his commentary on the Hail Mary, that's the only part that he commented on, because the second half of it that we pray had not yet been added as kind of a common prayer that people would say. But the name of Mary and the name of Jesus were both added in just to fill in so that people knew who you were talking about, because the angel Gabriel said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." And of course, the angel Gabriel didn't need to say Mary, because Mary knew that the angel was talking to her. But when we pray, we say, "Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you." And then when Elizabeth praised Mary and she said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb," she didn't know the name of Jesus yet at that point, but when his name was given, then we know who Elizabeth was talking about, and so we add the name Jesus as well. And certainly that part of the Hail Mary where the name of Jesus had been explicitly included was already present by the 12th century, possibly even the 11th century, I don't know. But then the second half of the Hail Mary, "Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death," seems to have been added at some point later. I think maybe in the 14th century. I'll have to think about that exactly the date. I don't remember the exact date there, but it let's see. I think Yes, I remember now. It was for the first time it appeared in print in 1495. That's when we have that, the first record of the second half of the Hail Mary, 1495. So the first half, including the name of Jesus, was already being prayed in the Middle Ages, the early Middle Ages, around the year 1200.
All right, Barbara.
All right. Thank you very much.
How do you like being You're in welcome. A church that has new innovations that happened in 1495? It's pretty good, huh? We better take a break. We'll be right back with more on prayer with Father Sebastian Walsh right after this.
We're here for you. Call now. Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live is proudly supported by CatholicChemistry.com, a new dating site for Catholics who want to do dating right and believe relationships start with Catholic chemistry. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicChemistry.com for their generous support on the web at CatholicChemistry.com.
St. Paul's street evangelization isn't like other evangelism you might have seen on the streets. We don't yell, and we don't force anyone to pay attention to us. Instead, St. Paul's street evangelization is committed to presenting a positive, passionately Catholic presence to a world hungry for truth. For more information or to start a chapter of your own, go to www.streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com. It's time to do our part.
Father Sebastian Walsh is our guest this hour, and we're talking about prayer. If you have questions about prayer, whether you are Christian or not, you are welcome to call 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Father, our friend Marie over on Facebook, she wanted me to ask you if you recommend that people keep a prayer journal.
You know, I think that that's something that can be helpful for people. It really does depend on the person's own particular temperament and personality. I know many people who are very deeply helped by expressing their prayers in written form. And so for those who find that helpful in their prayers, then I think that's a good thing to do. But other people, they actually find it a distraction if they have to start writing down. It's not as natural, and they don't have a sense of that very natural conversation that's happening in heart to heart in the soul. So you really have to see each individual whether or not that deepens your prayer life or it distracts from it. But in and of itself, it can be helpful, but not always for every person.
Okay, very good. Thanks, Marie, for the question. I always find that I start a journal, and then I get like two entries in it, and then I find it like 8 years later in the back of a drawer. It's like there's this whole
book. A little bit the same way. Yeah. When I find that if I write, it actually distracts my time in prayer, so I don't keep a journal when I pray. But I know other people who find it very helpful, and so I understand the Spirit moves each person according to their own, their own temperament and personality.
Up next, Ryan in Oklahoma City. Ryan, you are on with Father Sebastian Walsh. Your question, please.
Oh, hello. How y'all doing? Thank you for taking my question.
Happy to.
Sure.
I'm one of those individuals, I struggle sometimes to come up with just talking to God, and so I use prayer books a lot. And I've noticed there are many prayer books, especially Lentneys, they will say for private devotion only. And so my question is, why are some prayers meant to be private devotion and others say, you know, say not to be done publicly? I'm just, what's the rationale for that?
Yeah. Good. That's a great question. So, you know, what often happens is that someone in their own, you know, their own private reflections or their own time in prayer, they find that certain prayers they've composed on their own or certain prayers they sort of hear in their heart, they commit those to writing and then they make those into a prayer book. But there's a higher standard for public prayer. The church needs to really approve any prayers are going to be said in public. For example, the church needs to be very careful that there aren't any doctrinal inaccuracies expressed in the prayers, that the mode of praying is really in keeping with Catholic doctrine and so forth, and that it's a prayer that's suitable for the whole community to pray together. Even if everything's doctrinally correct, it might not be the sort of prayer that's suitable for liturgy. So whenever any prayer is public in the Catholic Church, for example, the Mass or the Psalms or any other or litanies or any of those prayers that are to be publicly recited by a group of the faithful together, the Church is vigilant to make sure that it is not in any way inappropriate or misleading to the faithful. And therefore, in order for a prayer to be said publicly, it needs the permission of the church. And if an author decides, well, I don't want to go through the whole trouble of going and having a bishop or some theologian review my prayers, then I'll just publish this book and I'll include in the front of it for private devotion only. That way it's not something that that the church sort of steps into to make a judgment about. So usually that's why you have these books that say for private devotion only, because it doesn't have yet the approval stamp of the authority of the church yet.
Okay, awesome. That answers my question perfectly. Thank you, Father.
Good. You're welcome.
Thank you, Ryan. Let's go to, I'm just going to kind of plow through here, Father, because we only have a few minutes left, and I want to try to get to folks. Mary in Fort Collins, Colorado, is listening on Catholic Radio. It's 1060 a.m. There. And Mary, your question for Father.
Father, we do a public rosary every day before Mass, and we've always said,
Wonderful.
Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee, and said the word thee. And some people that jump in and do a decade, they use the word you. Is that been approved, or is that a change they made? Or you mentioned that originally it, in the scripture it is you, so... Are we okay saying you, or is the preferred?
Well, let me put it this way. Originally in the scriptures, it was in Greek. And so since you're not saying the rosary in Greek, you're not going to be saying the words that are actually found in the scriptures. The is just the old English word for you. And many people, because the word is Old English, they want to just sort of update the Hail Mary and the Our Father and use just the modern English equivalents of thee and thou and thine. Instead, they'll use, you know, and yours and things like that. And either one is okay. I have a kind of a personal preference for the older form. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. I like that just because I do think that liturgical prayer should sound unusual. It should kind of, you know, shake you out of it. The less it sounds like just sort of what you're saying on the street every day, the more you realize that you're at the business of something that's kind of unique and unusual and not just your ordinary day-to-day life. So I kind of like the unusual sound of the old English in those prayers myself, but there's no prohibition of using either one, I guess what I would do is I would recommend whenever you're praying together in public to let's all just agree that we're going to use one form or the other and see what people prefer and then all do the same thing, just so that you're praying in a uniform way. But either one is perfectly acceptable. Does that make sense?
What I felt, but it wasn't up to me, so I can say I called Father and used a priest on Catholic Answers. Suggested that. So.
Yeah, right.
Well,
could, right.
Be, always be nice to your...
You can say that old-fashioned priest on Catholic Answers yeah. still likes those old words.
Yeah, that makes us very popular with pastors, but the priest on Catholic Answers said... Father, I go to a parish sometimes and say the rosary, and they don't follow that your advice at all because it's a multilingual parish, and people will say people will say their part in whatever language they speak. Like somebody will start it in Italian, and then everybody replies.
Yeah.
It's kind of fun, actually.
Well, that happens at Lourdes. If you go to Lourdes, there's a rosary in all these different languages. It's so... Anyway, maybe we should all do it in Latin again. Just go back to the Latin.
Well, I know you, but you know, because people will pick on priests who advocate that kind of thing sometimes. But the truth is, there is something really great about knowing the Our Father, the Hail Mary, some other prayers in Latin, so that we can all say them together. There is some utility in that. We have a gentleman we have a gentleman who has come into the studio. His prayer life is so bad. He came into the studio to ask you a question, Will. Go ahead. Go ahead. Your question.
Hello. Guilty.
Hi. Who is this?
This is Will.
Hey. Hi, Will.
Hey, so my question today is kind of in solidarity with our more modern skeptical-minded brothers who I love to dialogue with.
Yes.
So I'm wondering, what is the clearest example you know of a significant prayer being answered by supernatural means? And so to kind of disambiguate by supernatural means, a quick example would be like I recently read an account of a near-death experience of a young atheistic man. He was swimming in the ocean and lethally stung by a jellyfish. And then he just decided to reach out to God as he was kind of passing. And his mother, simultaneously, hundreds of miles away, had this feeling her son was in danger and prayed for him. And then he recovered and came back to life. Whereas that's kind of like a supernatural means. And by non-supernatural, it'd be like, you know, I prayed to get a good job and then I worked really hard and then I got a good job. So it seems like much more directly that the answering of the prayer was the consequence of my personal actions. So supernatural versus non-supernatural. So I'm guessing, asking like, what is the clearest example you know of a significant prayer being answered by supernatural means?
Okay. Most of the prayers, I know a number of prayers that fit that description, and most of them have to do with people's healings from a terminal illness. Hmm. So I'll give you two examples that I know of. The first one is, there was a man I met in Ecuador. And he had stage 4 cancer, terminal cancer, and the doctor had already said he only had a few weeks to live. And he had asked the Missionary of Charity Sisters, the group founded by Mother Teresa, he'd asked those sisters in Ecuador, in Quito, to pray for him. And they prayed a novena for his healing. And on the 9th day of the novena, he felt a hand on his head. And then he felt something that he described like a spirit going all the way through his body and out of his left heel. He said he felt it go all the way through his body out his left heel, and all the pain was gone. And then he went to the doctor, and all the cancer was gone instantaneously. And that was attributed to Mother Teresa, Mother Teresa's intercession. She had died by then, now St. Teresa of Calcutta, that's one example of a sudden, miraculous cure that happened through prayer. Another example I know of was a man who was blessed by a relic of St. John Henry Newman. Blessed John Henry, I think he's blessed now. He had cancer, and it was in tentacles around his heart. I mean, he was only a day or two away from death, and someone blessed him with a relic of John Henry Newman. And within 3 days, he was out of the hospital completely well, without any trace of cancer. neither of those miracles I described were actually used for their canonization procedures or for their beatifications. Some other miracle that was apparently more convincing and even more obvious were used for the beatifications for both of those saints. But those are two I personally know about that I've heard directly from the people that they happened to.
You've personally talked to those guys?
Oh, yeah, sure, yeah.
That's awesome.
That is awesome.
There you go.
Thanks, Will.
Thank you.
I appreciate you coming in. Are they treating you well out there?
Horribly.
Oh, they're treating you
there's
horribly.
There's no food.
I'm sorry. There's no snacks today at Catholic Answers. Will came all the way in here to ask a question about prayer. I am disturbed by that. Please get this man a beverage and something to eat. Father Sebastian Walsh has been our guest. The book is Prayer. It's the one of the 20 Answers books from Catholic Answers. You can find it at shop.catholic.com. Father, may we have your blessing before we go.
Per intercessionem Beata Maria Virginis et Omnum Sanctorum, benedictio de omnipotentis, Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti, descendat super vos et maniat semper.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Father. And thank you to all. I hope you'll share this. Thank you to all the guys and your abbot up there for all the many services you've rendered to us and continue to render to us here at Catholic Answers.
Absolutely. Thank you for everything you do.
Coming up next, can we take any more time with him this week? Yep, it's Tim Staples. It's going to be open forum. Ask him anything you want. He will give you an answer. No guarantee it'll be a short answer, but he will answer right after this.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by a few minutes each day can change your life during Lent. Ave Maria Press offers booklets for daily devotion, reflection, and more from such best-selling authors as Gary Zimak, Greg Kandra, Father Michael White, and Tom Corcoran, and so many more. Looking for Stations of the Cross booklets or books that are perfect for small groups? We have those too. Head over to AveMariaPress.com and use code LENT20 to get 20% off your order today. Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small batch artisan coffee using top tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/Redbox Media. Experience coffee like never before.